Good evening and welcome to another edition of Reporters Roundtable. Coming to you live from Washington, I'm Douglas Simpoga. This evening we will talk about political succession in Africa. And with us tonight is my colleague, Vincent Macquarie, Managing Editor of VOA's Africa 54, and Suleiman Mugula, who is joining us from Durban, South Africa. He's an independent political analyst. Gentlemen, welcome to Reporters Roundtable once again.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Nice having you on the show. As I said, tonight we're talking about political succession. Many African leaders lately have changed constitutions that limited them to their terms of office, and others have declared themselves outright life presidents. In most cases, this has not ended well, both for the leaders and the people in those countries. So why should one want to lead or rule until death? So, Vincent, these must be very patriotic leaders who want to rule until they drop dead.
In fact, it's the opposite. Leaders who always want to stay in power forever are characteristically selfish and patriotic, and they don't care about the people. Because, as a human being, you are noble when you are realistic, and when you have the modesty to understand that you will one day get out one way or another. And so if you love your people, if you're a patriotic leader, you want the best future for them. And to have the best future for your people, you have to be like a loving father, a loving parent. What does a loving parent do? You prepare the future for your children. You are realistic about your limitation as a human being, and you know that you're not always strong, you're not always wise, and you're not the only one with the best ideas. If you have a big family, you have 10 sons, you have 5 sons, you always, at some point, if you're a great father, you start allowing your sons or your children to take the lead, and at some point you step aside and let them have control because the future belongs to them. Now, a leader who stays in power forever does not care about what happens after he's gone. He wants to take whatever he can. He wants to hold on to whatever he has and stay until he dies. When that happens, he doesn't care about the future. So, in a word, the leaders who insist on staying in power forever and justified by saying that people have called on, they want me to do this, or people, if I leave power, the country will go to the dogs. In fact, those are the most selfish and patriotic leaders, and we've seen them. We've seen them from the time, in Africa, from the time our countries got independence up to today, none of those have led their countries to any greater heights of development and peace and progression.
And Suleiman, some of those, unfortunately, who want to stay there until they drop dead, came into power initially through force of arms.
Before I even come to those ones who came through the force of arms, generally, as Vincent has said, at this point in time, in the 21st century, there is no justification which one can give to stay in power forever. As the center has said, it seems there is a misunderstanding of the concept of leadership on the continent. It seems people don't understand, many of our African people don't understand that leadership is a selfless exercise to help the nation go forward. It is as if now on the African continent, especially for those whom you are saying who have stayed in power, who don't want to give away power, to them it has become a business to benefit them. Whereas worldwide, leadership is about enhancing, is about putting together all the human and non-human resources of the country to benefit the whole country so that it can go forward, so that you can have good life for your people, for the people at present, for the future generation to come. But by you staying, it means even, number one, they don't understand the concept of leadership. Really, what they are portraying is insensitivity, is arrogance, is selfishness, is primitivity. Because by the 21st century, as far as the 21st century is concerned, if we are to use the technological language, the technological language demands that systems, hardware, software, they have to be updated all the time. Here in South Africa, if you go to a car company and you buy a new car, after 10 years, you are supposed to take it back for an overhaul, for a refurbishing, for a re-energizing if it is politics. So it is just outdated, and we cannot have any excuse whatsoever for any leader to stay in power more. For those who have taken power by the use of guns, we should excuse them, because number one, if they were soldiers, there is no training manual in the training of a soldier in any country which prepares them to govern a country. The training manual for soldiers involves killing violently, annihilating an enemy. So that is their specialty. So by coming into governance, they are in a wrong field. So by overstaying, it means they are just killing the country 100%. Apart from those who are soldiers, then there are those who are militias, who form the whatever they call revolutionary groups, people like Kagame, people like Kabila, people like Museveni. Those are militia people. They don't even understand. They are not soldiers. They are not politicians. They are just fortune hunters. They are specialist killing machines. So those ones, we understand them because they are fortune hunters. Unless they are forced out, for them, they have come to stay to benefit as long as the conditions avail them.
I see. Vincent, what is even more interesting is that this cuts across the continent from east to west. You have in the West Africa, for instance, we have Paul Biya, who has been there for donkey's years. In the north, we had Gaddafi, who stayed for 40 years. We had Mubarak, Hussein Mubarak. We had Mugabe in the south. We have Museveni has stayed for 30-something years, 35 years. So this doesn't seem to be regional.
No. This is across the continent, and it is also symptomatic of the lack of strong institutions. What happened is that after independence, the weaknesses that were inherited have been maintained, especially by the leaderships in these countries, because then it does give that loophole to hold on to power and stay in power. Then they have continued to take advantage of the citizens, to manipulate the citizens. When you have Paul Biya being in power since 1982, a man is 87 years old today. It's a known fact that he spends most of his time in Switzerland, either relaxing or getting treatment. It's a fact that nobody can deny. When you have people who have, like Mugabe, who stayed to the point that he could sit and fall asleep when there are deliberations going on because he was so old. It actually makes nonsense of the whole idea of leadership, because you cannot be the person leading the country when you are incapacitated yourself. When you don't have the energy, you don't have the mental capacity because of advanced age, and also because you are living in a totally different generation. I mean, 1982 up to today, so much has happened. Now, a good leader would have wanted this person, the youth, to inject freshness in leadership. Would have wanted somebody with green, fresh ideas, but also a loving, patriotic leader would also want to prepare the country for the future, because when you stay for so long, you deny the citizenry the opportunity to get new leaders, to get fresh ideas. And so they're stuck with you, and when something happens one day and you die or you're overthrown, then they are confused because they don't have people who have really learned to lead their country up to that point. So what you're seeing, the reason why you see this across the continent is that the continent has had a similar experience of colonialism. And when countries attained independence, they embraced the weak systems. The colonial constitutions were basically not a democratic institution. Constitutions. Those were meant to subjugate people. And what these men have done across the continent is to maintain those colonial systems, which were meant to subjugate the citizens and entrench the colonial master-servant relationship forever. And instead of changing the systems to allow for democratic systems so that you can have transfer of power, peacefully change of governance over time, they have maintained those things in order to continue ruling as if they were, the God-send kings and sovereign leaders forever.
I see. Suleiman recently mentioned that a good leader should at least prepare for the future, which is a very good thing. But in most of these countries where they have long-serving leaders, not only have they failed to prepare for the future, most of those countries are in a mess.
They are in a mess, not only, by the way, as of now, not only the countries themselves, but even the regional, they are affecting the whole regional the regional group is all affected, the region where they are. Because when you have got Mugabe, when Mugabe collapses, he doesn't collapse alone. He collapses with South Africa, he collapses with Botswana, he collapses with Zambia. As we speak, us in South Africa now, we have got over 2 million Zimbabweans. That is a pressure to the South African government. It is a disruptive effect within the system. When Nkurunziza broke the third term agreement not to stand, it led to the disruption within the East African region. You have got over 250 Burundis around the region. Tanzania is forcing them out by force. Doesn't want them anymore. The chaos in DRC, Uganda is inundated with people from DRC every day. They are crossing the border. So they don't only disrupt the countries within, but even the region itself. For example, look at the pending problem in West Africa. Ouattara, after 10 years, he's deciding to stand again. Conte, after 10 years, he's deciding to stand again for third term. You wonder what is happening. What virus has gone into the heads of these African leaders? Ouattara, a very respectable man, a man whom the people of Ivory Coast had confidence in, a man who resuscitated the economy, a man who came in after violence and then stabilized the economy very well. It was growing fast at a pace of 7% annually. His term of office expires, and then he goes into the normal routine. The constitution does not ban me. The same to Conte. An old man, as Vincent has said, 82 years. The same to Ouattara. Instead of preparing the country, now they want to stand for third term. They are going, as you have said, Vincent, they are going to disrupt the institutions. They are going to disrupt the good which has been there. And then the countries are going to go backward. They are putting their countries on a waiting list for violence, for civil war. Like it or not, already more than 10 people have died in Ivory Coast. They are going to die. In Guinea-Conakry, already demonstrations are beginning. They are going to build up. Why? Because they don't love their countries. They are not decent. They have decided to become fortune hunters like the conmen whom we already have, like the gunmen who are holding their countries at ransom, which is very unfortunate.
I see. Well, for those just joining us, you are listening to Reporters Roundtable. And we are coming to you from Washington. Tonight we are discussing political succession in Africa. And our panelists are Vincent Makori and Suleiman Mgula, an independent political analyst. And I'm your host, Douglas Impoga, here in Washington. Vincent, you heard how Suleiman characterized some of those leaders there. But Africa doesn't lack people of stature who actually ruled and stepped aside and let others go on. We have an example of Nelson Mandela in South Africa. We had Julius Nyerere, although he had delayed, he decided to go away, and Tanzania since then has had political succession going on smoothly. Why can't their neighbors learn?
You see, it's all about the selfishness. Because as I mentioned this before, there is no lack of good examples, even on the continent. There may be few examples, but if you could just even zero in on those few examples, you see that those countries where the leaders showed true love and patriotism for their country and stepped aside so that they can allow new and fresh leadership have continued in a stable manner, and they're making progress. I mean, look at Nyerere, not only left power, but he acknowledged that the system he had put in power in place at that time, the socialism system, it meant well, but he acknowledged that it was a failure, it was a mistake. He allowed for a change of leadership, and the new leadership would implement new economic development structures, a new paradigm, and allow for the transfer of power from one leader to another so that the country can grow, can develop economically. And if you look at the history of Tanzania, it has made an amazing progress since that time. It is still a poorer country, but it is moving steadily. Today is counted as one of the fastest growing economies. Now, although the same party has been in power for so long, but at least there has been competitive politics. There has been elections. There might be an issue here or there. But at least citizens have gotten used to the culture of transfer of power. There have been several presidencies in Nyerere. We've seen the same in South Africa after Mandela left. What we've seen is that, well, first, it allowed South Africans to see yet another black person taking the position of leadership, to see them, take hold of the power. Now, there have been problems. There have been problems basically because the black South Africans were cut out of the system. They've been having a learning curve as they're trying to lead their country forward. But if you look at any country where a leader has insisted on staying in power forever, things have been terrible. Things haven't done well. I mean, I come from Kenya. We know that 24 years of President Daniel Arap Moi, however well-meaning he may have thought he was, things were not good. Those of us who lived through the system were not stupid. We know it was so repressive. The economy went down. So many institutions collapsed. And things started looking up after he left power. And for the last at least 15 years, we've seen certain changes that we could not have imagined during that time. So, in short, I'm trying to say, and there are a few examples. We've seen some good examples in Ghana, for example. And even Nigeria, we have seen a transition of power in a nice, peaceful way. Any country where the leadership insists on staying on, extending their terms, be it Burundi, be it the DRC, be it Ouattara, who people had high hopes on, they end up badly. They end up either in chaos later on, or economically, they take a nosedive. So, in short, it does not do any country any good for any leader, however well-intentioned, however much some of his lovers and followers want him to stay in power. It does not help the country for that person to continue staying in power. There's a reason why the Americans decided long ago to entrench it in the Constitution that it has to be only two terms. It doesn't matter how nice you are, how popular you are, and how smart you are. There will always be other people in a country who can lead the country.
Yeah, Suleiman, indeed. Those who have retired and are respected the term limits or even earlier are respected characters.
Yeah, we have got Tijan Kaba, Sierra Leone, got Kisano, you have got Mahama, you have got Kufo from Ghana, you have got the whole generation in Botswana, you have got Mohai, you have got Kama, you have got Senegal, The countries are moving. They are moving forward. They are enviable. The few rotten apples are bringing about cynicism about Africa. They have made Africa a laughing stock. Because at this day in the 21st century, the developed countries, the other countries can't understand why a leader like Museveni, like Kagame, like Biya, like Bebe in Chad, they don't understand what reason you can give. They cannot understand why a sensible man who has been at the top of IMF, like Ouattara, can say that the Constitution allows him because it was enacted the other day. You mean he cannot differentiate that the spirit of the Constitution demands that someone should serve 2 terms? They could not have set the Constitution for him specifically, explicitly, or do it retrospectively. But a very intelligent man like him to take advantage of the population and then do things which are wrong and make people line up and they vote for him. The international countries, the developed countries don't understand us. So in short, as Vincent has said, there is no excuse whatsoever. We have got the examples. If you compare Rwanda and Ghana, they are not the same. If you compare Burundi with Senegal, they are not the same. If you compare Botswana with the DRC, they are not the same. You cannot give any country where a leader has stayed for long, let's say Cameroon or Uganda or DRC or Chad, where there is economic progress. Instead, the people are becoming poorer and poorer. The institutions have become personalized. Corruption has become endemic. The country is on its feet. That is why at the end of the day, the people of Africa now are rising up and they are throwing them away one by one.
And if I also add there, you see, one of the things is I personally think that if a person really wanted to be remembered as a great leader, even if there was a loophole in the Constitution, they shouldn't want to take advantage of that. And there's no using your party and your supporters as a justification. Yes. That is, I think, the most idiotic thing, because always your supporters, your political party would wish you to stay in power. It's anywhere in the world. Now, the reason is that by nature, human beings, really, believe it or not, were really not meant to rule over each other. We do not have that capacity. We need to learn to lead, and we need to be controlled. If we don't, we abuse power. So we have to recognize that. We have to recognize our propensity to abuse power. Just like if you suddenly get come upon a lot of money, you've seen how people behave. They go crazy because by nature, men and women tend to abuse the power, and therefore they need control. That is why any leaders who really mean well for their country work hard to put systems in place, institutions in place that will protect the citizens against any excesses by individual leaders. You can't just trust. Now, there are noble people like Nelson Mandela who even had, not only justification, but he was within his constitutional right to serve a certain term. But being a noble man, he realized, you know what, I am at this age in my life. I don't want to stay in until I'm so old. Let me stay aside so that I can see how to help the new leadership and how our country can move forward with a fresh leadership. Now, the point I wanted also to make is that if you look at all those countries where leaders have decided they want to stay longer, one of the things that disappears is that sense of peace and stability. There are always protests. There will always there's fear and there's repression. Now, if somebody wants to dispute that, look at what's happening in Ivory Coast. Since Ouattara decided that he wants to run for the third term, there have been protests. Mm. The opposition has called for civil disobedience. What does this lead to? Tensions, deaths, and who knows what after that. Of course, the economy gets undermined. Countries like whether you're talking about Rwanda, Uganda, any country, or Cameroon, Cameroon. We've been having all the secession fighting in the English-speaking part of Cameroon. But when you have a true democracy where leaders, where citizens know that after 5 years, after 10 years, there is going to be a peaceful election, even if the leader is not doing a great job, people don't worry too much because they know we're going to have an election, the citizens will decide, and there will be a new leader who will be given a chance to try and take the country to another level. People need to have that certainty that there is going to be change tomorrow. When people don't have that, when people live in fear, when people cannot question, when people cannot expect change, you are just creating an atmosphere for chaos and even deaths in the future.
Briefly, Suleiman, do you think things will change? Will some of these leaders realize maybe it's useless to hang on to power for life? Briefly.
Douglas, whether they are listening to us or not listening to us, we can only pass the message to them that the scheme which they are involved in, the paradigm which they are still holding on, is a 19th century and 20th century paradigm. Things have changed so fast. And we have already got enough examples. We already have a template. We don't need a Rawlings to collect them after taking over power and puts them on a firing squad. They can learn from the experience which are there. They are mature. They have got advisors. They have got family. Let everybody who is surrounding these people inform them that times have changed. The citizens are appealing to them to relinquish power peacefully, because they are not only a source of stagnation and instability in their own countries, but they are also affecting the many neighboring countries which are around them. So the best way to do it is to leave power, to learn from others, and leave the countries to progress. For them, they will die, but the countries will never die.
I see. Vincent, in the last 30 seconds, you think there's hope that maybe some of them will realize it's futile to keep on?
I think those who are in it don't seem like they will realize. It looks like they will have to be pushed out. I mean, we saw what happened in Congo, for example. Kabila did not just realize that the forces were just too much. And so it's unfortunate, but I think they will have to be just forced to see that it's time to go, unfortunately.
Suleiman, I think that's your view too, that maybe at some point they will realize this. It's worthless.
Actually, at the moment, unless they are blind, if you look at what happened in Sudan, if you look at what happened in Burkina Faso, which you look at what has just happened in Mali, then a sensible person should know that the writing is very clear, is in bold letters. It is time for dictators to leave. Overstaying does not help. You either leave or you'll be forced out by the population.
I see. Yeah. Unfortunately, we're out of time. That wraps up this edition of Reporters Roundtable. Thanks to my colleague, Vincent Macquarie, Managing Editor of VOA's Africa 54, and Suleiman Mgula, an independent political analyst based in Durban, South Africa. Gentlemen, once again, thanks very much for being on the show.
It's been a pleasure.
You're very much welcome. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Reporters Roundtable. A reminder that you can hear our roundtable on the internet. You just go to our main website, click on programs, and scroll down to Reporters Roundtable. Once again, thanks very much for tuning in. I'm your host, Douglas Simpoga, and hope to see you again next week.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Encounter. Next up, crisis in the Caribbean. In the wake of the assassination of Haitian President Jovenel Moïse, how best can the United States help Haiti pursue justice? And what role should Washington play in addressing the popular protests against the Cuban government? We'll talk with two regional experts about U.S. policy toward Haiti and Cuba. That's Encounter this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young, host of The Sunny Side of Sports. Tune in right here, Mondays through Fridays, at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC for a Nine Action Pack, 30-minute program of African, American, and international sports highlights.